Today I want to talk to you about a topic that is kind of hard. For me, it's hard. And it's when we have prayed and we've done everything we can and God says no. Does God even do that? Does God say no? Yes, he does. I know that when he says yes, I go. And I know that when he says wait, I stop. But what do I do when God says no? What do we do when God says no? Well, I remember back in high school, funny story, something I still hold against my parents. If you're watching online, mom and dad. It was my senior year, and I was just so excited to finally go on my senior trip. And I prepared what neon outfit I was going to wear, how much hairspray I was going to take with me, cassette tape I was going to take so we could be up all night. I'm listening to music, dancing, causing havoc. I went to school in Brooklyn. It was a dude ranch. It was going to be up here in upstate New York. It was going to be up here. So I was really excited to finally, just get away with my friends and just get crazy. Well, I saved up for it. I was so excited. I was packing probably months before. And the day my mom was supposed to sign the permission slip, she said, no, I'm not going. I'm like, what? No, this can't be. This can't be. I couldn't believe it. She said no. I cried. I begged. I groveled. I tried to make her feel guilty. I crawled on the floor. I wouldn't eat. I was just beside myself. I couldn't believe it. She said no. Hard life, yes. I didn't grow up in a Christian home, but my parents were still very strict. I remember my brothers could do certain things, and they were younger than I, but I couldn't even go outside on the front stoop without asking for permission. And to go to the park alone, Puerto Rican mom, Italian dad, that wasn't going to happen. So I couldn't understand it. I didn't go. To this day, yes, I do hold that against them. There was another time I was going on a date, and it wasn't with you, honey. This was in high school. I was going on a date, and my mom said, I'm kind of a little, I'm not really too sure about this guy, so you're going to take your sister as a chaperone. How many of you remember chaperones? I don't know. I know in certain cultures they're more, it's more prevalent, right? We kind of just do, So my mom said, you're taking your sister with you, your little sister with you. I'm like, okay. I was not happy about it, but I'm like, okay. Halfway to the restaurant, the guy decides to turn his car around and bring us both home. Not sure what his intentions were, but I can say that my dad ran down the stairs, probably chased the car down a little bit, and glad to say that I was happy that my mom and dad said, take your sister. They had said no to me going on that date by myself. God only knows what would have happened. It wasn't too long ago, probably about 18 years ago, that God said no. I'm going to get a little emotional today. That God said no to our son, Seth. Seth was born, as many of you know who've been here, this is part of our story, so we share it because it is a testimony of God's strength and his goodness and how he works all things out for good. I don't understand it. It's a supernatural thing, the way he does certain things. But we trust God. We believe that all things work out for our good. 18 years ago, Seth would have been 18, but he didn't receive his healing on this earth. I think that was the hardest no we had ever received in our entire life. Writing this message, you know, sometimes you think you've healed, right? Sometimes you think you've, not that you heal from the loss, but you think, you know, I've been there. I got this, you know. But writing the message this past week, wow, it just welled up a lot of emotion in me again. And what I thought I had dealt with, I really hadn't dealt with. God said no. God said no. I bawled in the office. I cried in my office right upstairs. Couldn't understand why God said no after Pastor and I begged and pleaded for God to spare our son for weeks and months, begging God to spare him, bargaining with God, trying to say, God, you know, if we do this, will you do this? And God still said no. What do you do when God says no? Do you quit? Do you throw in the towel? What do you do when God says no to the job? Or when God says no to the house? Or when God says no to your healing? What do you do when God says no and you still have to close the casket? In 2 Corinthians 12, 7 through 9, Paul says, so to keep me from becoming proud, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger from Satan, to torment me and keep me from becoming proud. 3 different times I begged the Lord to take it away. Each time he said, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So now I am glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me. That's why I take pleasure in my weaknesses and in the insults, hardships, persecutions, and troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong. We have to remember, church, that this life isn't meant for us to live for ourselves. I think many times we think, oh, we're born onto this, on this earth, and we're here to achieve goals, and we're here to achieve riches, and we're here to achieve successes. And church, no, that is really not why we were born, why God gave us breath. There's a bigger purpose than that. We are not our own. We don't live and exist and have our being just to breathe air and to take up space. The reason for our being, the reason for our life, is to become more like Jesus. So we are going to experience hardships. We are going to experience pain. We are going to experience loss. We're not going to get everything we want. God is going to say no. And I can guarantee that many of us, if not all of us, have experienced God's no in one way or another. Paul was the writer of 13 books or letters of the Bible. He was God's man, spreading the gospel throughout the world, and God still said no to him. God said no to Paul. Paul, the one who raised people from the dead. Paul, the one who healed people. Paul, who had gone through so many things for Christ, here he was getting a no from God. We don't know what thorn, you know, it talks about the thorn in his flesh. You know, many, many scholars have debated what it was, and we really don't know what it is. And I think God did that intentionally. God did that intentionally so that, you know, not letting us know what it was, so that we can insert our thorn in there. So that we can insert our thorn in there. Whatever our trial is, whatever it is that we're going through, God wants us to put our thorn, our trouble, our storm in there. The rug was pulled out from him 14 years before he wrote this. He had just experienced a mighty experience with God. God had revealed so many incredible things to him. And right when it was over, a messenger of Satan came to torment him. So for 14 years, he had been begging God, God, take this from me. God, take this from me. Please, Lord, take it from me. And I can almost guarantee that it wasn't a cute prayer like, God, take this from me. It was more one of those puffy-eyed, snotty, ugly types of prayer. Have any of you ever had one of those? Right? Those prayers where the snot's coming out and you're just kind of laid out. Your eyes are puffy. You don't even care what you look like. You've just been begging God and crying out to God. I'm here to tell you that we are very familiar with that for 14 years. And God still said no. Paul was overwhelmed. Can you imagine 14 years of the same thing? Torment. Not a bothering, a torment. Are you overwhelmed with grief today? Are you overwhelmed with those bills that just don't seem to, you're kind of trying to keep catching up and you think you're caught up and you're like, just never ending? Are you overwhelmed with the health issues, with health issues? How about being overwhelmed in a bad marriage or overwhelmed because your children aren't serving the Lord? Jesus was overwhelmed too. Think of it, in the Garden of Gethsemane, he begged God the Father, the Savior of the world, begged God the Father, take this from me. Take this cup from me if it's your will. And God's answer was no. Can you imagine if God had said, sure, you don't have to go to the cross. You don't have to suffer and die for Eduardo, for Ruth, for Jackie, for Joe, for Seattle. You don't have to die for any of these people. Where would we be? If God had said, okay, and Jesus had not gone to the cross. I'm saying if God can say no to Jesus and God can say no to Paul, I'm thinking he's going to say no to you and to me. Think of it. Jesus was so overwhelmed. He sweat. What was it? Blood. Think of the pressure, the tension. They were both overwhelmed because they had been overruled. God overruled their request. He said no. Overruled, overwhelmed, overruled. And what do you do when that happens? Number one, you stay in faith. You stay in faith. Those of us who've been walking with Jesus for a while, we have a relationship, right? We know where we've been, and we know what he's done for us. And though it hurts, it makes no sense, can I tell you that because I have a relationship with Jesus, I know that I can stay in faith, even in the pain and the loss. Let me tell you, when we lost Seth, yes, I asked why. And yes, I was devastated. Yes, I was all kinds of things, but I somehow, in that darkness, in that grief, I still knew that God was good. It's a supernatural thing, I think. I think it's something that kind of just happens supernaturally. It's something that isn't natural. But for those of us who've been walking with Jesus, we know. We know that no matter our losses and no matter the trial and no matter the storm, he's still good. He's still God. He's still faithful. So the number one thing we do when we are getting hit like that, when we are being overwhelmed, when we have been overruled, we stay in faith. Number two, we stand firm. The wind is going to come. The storms are going to come. You know, those things that the enemy's trying to throw at you, it's going to kind of try to rattle you and shake you. But as long as your feet are planted on the rock, on Jesus, and you're staying in faith, I'm here to tell you that God will be there no matter what. Stay in faith. Stand firm. We know, for those of us who've been walking with Jesus a while, we know that somehow it's going to make sense. Somehow he's going to come through. Somehow, God is going to reveal himself to us in the storm. And number three, we trust him and we remember. We remember. I've said this before, church. Those of us who've been walking with God, and I keep saying this because those of us who've been walking with Jesus have a history with Jesus. We have a history with God. We can say, you know what, because of this situation, I know it's hard and I know it hurts, but I know that he brought me from afar. He healed me before. He saw me through my loss. He saw me through my pain before. And because he's done that, I can trust him to do it again. Right? I haven't lost my mind. Right? We could have lost our minds many times. We could have lost losing our careers, losing dreams, losing loved ones. We being so overwhelmed with life. We could have lost our minds. We could have lost our way. But those of us who've been walking with Jesus know that Jesus is good. And I can trust him because he is faithful. And I can trust him because he's seen me through before. What did God tell Paul after he had told him no? He said, each time, my grace is all you need. My grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So I looked up the word God, you know, grace. We kind of understand what grace is, but God's grace. What is God's grace? I looked it up and it says this. The divine influence which operates, I think I have it up here. Yep. The divine influence which operates in humans to impart strength, to endure trial, and resist temptation. Grace, God's grace, a divine influence comes from God, which operates in you and in me to impart strength, to endure trial, and resist temptation. So God was basically telling Paul, I'm not going to give you what you want because my grace is going to regenerate you. My grace is going to sanctify you. My grace is going to make you strong under the pressure and help you endure trials and help you to resist temptation. God's grace. Once Paul understood what God was doing in him, because those of us who are Christ followers, Christians, we understand that God is more interested in doing something in us than for us. Right? He's building up our faith. He's building up our strength so that we can endure. So once Paul understood what God was doing in him through this torment, Paul was overjoyed. It doesn't make sense, does it? It doesn't make sense that 14 years of torment, God can still say, Paul can still say, I am overjoyed. So he went from being overwhelmed, right? He went from being overwhelmed to overruled, and now to overjoyed. Paul went from being overwhelmed to overruled, and now to overjoyed. So now I am glad to boast about my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ can work through me. That's why I take pleasure in my weaknesses and in the insults and hardships, persecutions, and troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong. God's strength. So those of us who have been walking with Jesus, we can praise him in the trials, right? We can praise him. Have you praised him in the trials? Right? It doesn't mean that we don't cry. It doesn't mean that it doesn't hurt. It doesn't mean that we don't ask why. It doesn't mean that we wish it hadn't happened. But if Paul can take pleasure in his weaknesses and in the insults and hardships and troubles, then we can do the same. God wants to produce in us something far greater than anything he could ever give us. God has given you the grace you need for the trials you are in. I say this, the tougher the day, the greater the strength. The harder the test, the greater the power. The harder the trial, the greater the faith. God has given you the grace, the strength, and the power you need to get through. You have all you need. Now, I want you to do something, okay? I want you to stand up. And I want you to turn to the person next to you, maybe in front of you, maybe behind you, and I want you to repeat after me. God has given me grace for my problems. God has given me grace for my life. And I am going to trust him. Because he is good. Because he is kind. Because he is faithful. And I will trust him. You may have a seat. When God said no to Pastor and I 18 years ago, the rug was taken out from under us. It took our breath away. It was the hardest trial we had ever been through. It was the toughest no we had ever experienced, but we stood in faith. We stood firm and remembered God's goodness. And we trusted and believed, we trusted and remembered that God was doing something far greater than we could ever understand or imagine. God has given you grace, church. Grace and strength to get through this. You know, God has entrusted you with this trial. Sometimes I wish he didn't trust me so much. But he has. God has entrusted us with these trials. Stand firm. There's a little verse in Deuteronomy 33:25 that says, "And as thy days, so shall thy strength be." As your days, as you live your day, God will give you strength for that day. God will give you strength for that day. So when you get out of bed, so when you can't get out of bed in the morning because you can't seem to face the day, tell yourself, God has given me strength for today. Tell yourself, sometimes you have to speak to your soul. Sometimes you have to speak to yourself. Sometimes you have to speak and encourage yourself. When you're ready to throw in the towel, tell yourself, God has given me strength for today. His grace is sufficient for me. When you're about to end it all, because I know that there are people here in this church who have thought about it, tell yourself, God has given me strength for today, for this moment, His grace is sufficient for me. God isn't going to say yes. There are times and God isn't going to say yes. Many times he will, and there are times he won't. His answer is firm. I want you to stay in faith. I want you to stand firm and remember, and I want you to trust. I want to add one more praise. Something happens when we worship and praise God in the trials. When you're in your room or in the living room and you have your music or in your car or at work or on your walk and you're going through some stuff, something happens in the atmosphere when you praise the Lord. Something happens in the atmosphere when you praise God. When you say, God, no matter what I'm going through, I'm going to trust you. God, no matter what I'm feeling, I'm going to trust you. God, I'm going to trust you in this storm. I'm going to trust you in this circumstance. I'm going to trust you with this loss. I don't understand it, but I'm still going to praise you. And I learned something, church. I learned that despite losing my son, I still loved Jesus. I still loved him. I still loved God. I still trusted him. I don't understand it. I can't tell you that it was a feat of my own will. But I can tell you that I did. And I saw his goodness. And I've said this before, but spring is my favorite season. And I remember Seth passed away on April 10th. And we were in New England at the time, and it was cold. New England is cold for, I think, more than it's ever warm. And we were sitting, and I remember there were so many people in the house, and I just need to get away. So on the back, we had, in our backyard, there was a little porch. And if you sat in the corner, no one could see you. So I sat in that corner on a chair, and I just breathed and cried. Then I looked over the edge there, and I saw these beautiful crocuses, purple crocuses. And I said, God, I wish Seth hadn't gone. I wish you hadn't allowed him to be taken away from us. But I thank you because at least it happened in the spring. It's a message. I felt it was a message from God to me that it was going to be okay. In those crocuses blossoming like that through the snow, I felt that God was saying, even in the winter, even in the storm, even in this crazy season and time, I'm with you. I've got you. And I felt such peace about that. So whatever you're going through right now, whatever season you're in, whatever trial, whatever loss, trust the Lord. Look, I mean, it sounds almost insensitive to say, look for the beauty in that trial. But as mature and seasoned believers, we can do that. And as you continue to walk with the Lord, for those of us who are maybe just beginning our journey, I promise you that as you continue to walk with the Lord, things aren't going to make sense. They're not going to hurt any less. But you're going to have Jesus with you, and he's going to reveal his goodness somehow. And he's going to reveal his kindness somehow. And we may not have the answers here on earth. I don't know why the Lord allowed that to happen, but I know that I was able to help other moms who experienced loss with their babies. I know that I was able to encourage people who've lost loved ones. I know that I went through what I went through so that I could encourage other people. Because I can understand. Don't give up. Don't quit. Don't throw in the towel. Please don't end it. God is working his strength in you. His grace is sufficient for you. Remember that his power works best in our weakness. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Heavenly Father, because you've been good to us. We may not understand the loss, and we may not understand why, but Lord God, we still trust you. We're going to stay in faith. We're going to trust you and remember your goodness and your faithfulness. Transform us into the men and women you want us to be. Use us, Heavenly Father, to impact others. Use our lives, use our stories, use our losses. I know that they're not in vain. You said it in your word. So use our pain, use our trials to encourage other people. Teach us through our pain and loss. Teach us to go to you. Teach us to pray. Teach us, oh Lord, to stay in faith, to stand, and to trust you and remember, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.